10. Juliet participated in a ceremonial planting at the Mids farm, had a late lunch, and continued her laconic pace up the silo. By the time she reached the 30s, the lights were beginning to dim, and she found herself looking forward to a familiar bed. Lucas was waiting for her on the landing. He smiled a greeting and insisted on taking her shoulder bag, however light. "You didn't have to wait for me," she said, but in truth she found it sweet. "I just got here," he insisted. "A porter told me we're getting close." Juliet remembered the young girl in light blue coveralls who'd overtaken her in the 40s. It was easy to forget that Lucas had eyes and ears everywhere. He held the door open, and Juliet entered a level packed with conflicting memories and feelings. Here was where Knox had died. Here was where Mayor Johns had been poisoned. Here was where she had been doomed to clean, and where doctors had patched her back up. She glanced toward the conference room and remembered being told that she was mayor. That was where she had suggested to Peter and Lucas that they tell everyone the truth, that they were not alone in the world. She still thought it a good idea, despite their protestations. But maybe it was better to show people rather than tell them. She imagined families taking a grand journey to the down deep, the way they used to hike up to gaze at the wall screen. They would travel to her world, thousands of people who had never been, who had no idea what the machines that kept them alive looked like. They would travel down to mechanical so that they could then pass through a tunnel and see this other silo. On the way, they might marvel at the main generator that now hummed, perfectly balanced. They could marvel at the hole in the ground her friends had made. And then they could contemplate the thrill of filling an empty world so very much like their own, remaking it how they saw fit. The security gate beeped as Lucas scanned his pass, and Juliet returned from her daydreams. The guard behind the gate waved at her, and Juliet waved back. Beyond him, the halls of IT sat quiet and empty. Most of the workers had gone home for the night. With no one there, Juliet was reminded of Silo 17. She imagined Solo walking around the corner, half a loaf of bread in his hand, crumbs caught in his beard, a happy grin on his face as he spotted her. That hall looked just like this hall, except for the busted light that dangled from its wires in Silo 17. These two sets of memories jumbled in her head as she followed Lucas back to his private residence. Two worlds with the same layout. Two lives lived, one here and one there. The weeks spent with Solo felt like an entire lifetime. Such was the bond that formed between two people under strain. Elise might dart out of that office where the kids had set up their home and cling to Juliet's leg. The twins would be arguing over found spoils around the bend. Rickson and Hannah would be stealing a kiss in the dark and whispering of another child. "But only if you agree." Juliet turned to Lucas.
"What? Oh, yes, that's fine.
You didn't hear a word of that, did you?" They reached his door, and he scanned his badge. "It's like you're off in another world sometimes." Juliet heard concern in his voice, not anger. She took her bag from him and stepped inside. Lucas turned on the lights and threw his ID on the dresser by the bed. "You feeling okay?" he asked.
"Just tired from the climb."
Juliet sat on the edge of the bed and untied her laces. She worked her boots off and left them in their usual place. Lucas's apartment was like a second home, familiar and cozy. Her own apartment on level 6 was a foreign land. She had seen it twice, but had never spent a night there. To do so would be to fully accept her role as mayor. "I was thinking about having a late dinner delivered." Lucas rummaged in his closet and brought out the soft cloth robe that Juliet loved to pull on after a hot shower. He hung it from the hook on the bathroom door. "Do you want me to run you a bath?" Juliet took a heavy breath.
"I reek, don't I?"
She sniffed the back of her hand and tried to nose the grease. There was the acidic hint of her cutting torch, the spice of exhaust fumes from the digger, a perfume as tattooed on her flesh as the markings oil men cut and inked into their arms. All this despite the fact that she'd showered before she left mechanical.
"No,"
Lucas appeared hurt. "I just thought you'd enjoy a bath."
"In the morning, maybe. And I might skip dinner. I've been snacking all day."
She smoothed the sheets beside her. Lucas smiled and sat down next to her on the bed. His face bore an expectant grin, that glow in his eyes she saw after they made love, but the look dissipated with her next words.
"We need to talk."
His face fell. His shoulders sagged.
"We're not going to register, are we?" Juliet seized his hand. No, that's not it. Of course we are. Of course. She pressed his hand to her chest, remembering a love that she'd kept hidden from the pact once before, and how that had wrenched her in half. She would never make that mistake again. It's about the digging, she said. Lucas took a deep breath, held it for a moment, then laughed. Only that, he said, smiling. Amazing that your digging could come as the lesser of two harms. I have something else I want to do that you aren't going to like. He raised an eyebrow. If this is about trying to spread news of the other silos, about telling people what's out there, you know where Peter and I stand on that. I don't think those words are safe. People won't believe you, and those who do will want to cause trouble. Juliet thought of Father Wendell, and how people could believe amazing things crafted from mere words, how beliefs could form from books. But perhaps they had to want to believe those things. And maybe Lucas was right that not everyone would want to believe the truth. I'm not going to tell them anything, she told Lucas. I want to show them. There's something I want to do up top, but it requires help from you and your department. I'm going to need some of your men. Lucas frowned. I don't like the sound of that. He rubbed her arm. Why don't we discuss it tomorrow? I just want to enjoy having you here with me tonight. One night where we aren't working. I can pretend I'm just a server tech, and you can be not the mayor. Juliet squeezed his hand. You're right, of course. And maybe I should jump in the shower real quick. No, stay. He kissed her neck. You smell like you. Shower in the morning. She relented. Lucas kissed her neck again, but when he moved to unzip her coveralls, she asked him to douse the lights. For once, he didn't complain as he often did about not being able to see her. Instead, he left the bathroom light on and shut the door most of the way, leaving the barest of glows. As much as she loved being naked with him, she didn't like to be seen. The patchwork of scars made her look like the slices of mine shaft that cut through granite, a web of white rock standing out from the rest. But as unattractive as they were to the eyes, they were sensitive to the touch. Each scar was like a nerve ending rising from her own deep. When Lucas traced them with his fingers, like an electrician following a diagram of wires, wherever he touched was a wrench across two battery terminals. Electricity fluttered through her body as they held each other in the darkness and he explored her with his hands. Juliet could feel her skin grow warm. This would not be a night where they fell fast asleep. Her designs and dangerous plans began to fade under the gentle pressure of his soft touch. This would be a night for traveling back to her youth, of feeling rather than thinking, back to simpler times. That's strange, Lucas said, stopping what he was doing. Juliet didn't ask what was strange, hoping he'd forget it. She was too proud to tell him to keep touching her like that. My favorite little scar is gone, he said, rubbing a spot on her arm. Juliet's temperature soared. She was back in the airlock, such was the heat. It was one thing to silently touch her wounds, another to name them. She pulled her arm away and rolled over, thinking this would be a night for sleep after all. No, here, let me see, he begged. You're being cruel, Juliet told him. Lucas rubbed her back. I'm not, I swear. May I please see your arm? Juliet sat up in the bed and pulled the sheets over her knees. She wrapped her arms around herself. I don't like you mentioning them, she said, and you shouldn't have a favorite. She nodded toward the bathroom, where a faint glow of light leaked out from the cracked door. Can we please shut that or turn out the light? Jules, I swear to you, I love you just the way you are. I've never seen you any other way. She took that to mean that he'd never seen her naked before her wounds, not that he'd always found her beautiful. Getting out of bed, she moved to douse the bathroom light herself. She dragged the sheet behind her, leaving Lucas alone and naked on the bed. It was on the crook of your right arm, Lucas said. Three of them crossed and made a little star. I've kissed it 100 times. Juliet doused the light and stood alone in the darkness. She could still feel Lucas gazing at her. She could feel people gawking at the scars even when she was fully clothed. She thought of George seeing her like that, and a lump rose in her throat. Lucas appeared next to her in the pitch black, his arm around her, a kiss lighting on her shoulder. Come back to bed, he said. I'm sorry. We can leave the light out. Juliet hesitated. I don't like you knowing them so well, she said. I don't want to be one of your star charts. I know, he said. I can't help it. They're a part of you. The only you I've ever known. Maybe we should have your father take a look? She pulled away from him, only to click the light back on. She studied the crook of her arm in the mirror, first her right arm and then her left, thinking he must be wrong. Are you sure it was there? She asked, studying the web of scars for some bare patch, some piece of open sky. Lucas took her tenderly by the wrist and elbow, lifted her arm to his mouth, and kissed it. Right there, he said. I've kissed it 100 times. Juliet wiped a tear from her eye and laughed in that mix of gasp and sigh that comes from a sad burst of emotion, locating a particularly offensive knot of flesh, a welt that ran right around her forearm. She showed it to Lucas, forgiving him, if not believing him. Do this one next, she said.